what an effort that is. A wonderful goal, Matthijs.
Brighton Albion have promoted to the Championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
Hello and welcome to the 72 show. I'm your host, Anthony Kendrick, and I'm joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And our guest this week is Barry Hales. So Barry will be joining us later in the show for the FA Cup review, but just to start with, we'll do a quick go over the Championship, obviously, as there. In the FA Cup in the third round rather than the second. The big story, Newcastle, they lost 2-1 to Nottingham Forest, down to 9 men. Two red cards, do you agree with them for Dummett and Shelby?
I must be honest, I'm only going from what I've played. I haven't actually seen the Newcastle Forest game, I'm afraid. But from what I can understand, they weren't red cards. It was appalling refereeing display last night, on Friday night in the game. And that was the biggest talking point. The referees' performance really, apparently they just weren't red cards, and it was an appalling game by the officials. And I'm afraid that we don't really want to be talking about that on the show. We want to be talking about football, we want to be talking about players, we don't want to be talking about the man in charge of the game.
Yeah, well, both red cards have been overturned since, so I guess that says it all. Talking about the football itself, it was, Forest, I guess, they sort of wore Newcastle down as the game went on. It's their third win in a row. It puts them up to 13th in the table.
Big win for Forest. I mean, and I felt like I had Marvin Gabber as well in the atmosphere. I think it felt like it was sort of there back in Bergen. I mean, they set out a huge crowd at the City Ground, obviously a packed away in Newcastle, as you expect. And there's two big clubs for us in Newcastle, but feel of a really big game back in the old, working the sort of Premier League sort of type game. And the football certainly was pulling the referee to wreck it. But no, full credit to Newcastle, first of all, it's not rolling over and getting battered. They put up a good fight.
Yeah.
But in the end, yeah, Forrest just had that little bit of edge, and former player of them helped them out, Lascelles. And they got at the end, but no, full credit to Newcastle for saving not rolling over. Franchi came playing a whole half, 9 men against 11 men, it's just extremely difficult. But in that token, full credit for Forrest for finding that winner at the end.
Yeah, another team that had two players sent off, Preston, but that was for very different reasons, and probably both red cards. Owen Doyle and Jermaine Beckford both started fighting with each other because Doyle didn't pass to him, to Beckford, causing both fighting. And I know they've issued refunds to fans who attended the game.
Yeah, it's a disgrace, really, isn't it? You can't get around doing that. You can't. You pay football to do. You can say it's passionate and all that. But you set an example. You're playing for a football club. You're getting paid to. You don't do a kiddie squabble on a football pitch when there's loads of people watching you. When you've got fans who are paying money to say to come watch you play, kids looking up to you. I can go on. It's just unacceptable. It's absolutely embarrassing. And they're shaming their football club. And I think full credit to Preston and themselves for actually coming out and making them repay the fans, because I think it's the least they can do.
Yeah, it was just laughable, really. Just a couple of other things I want to mention. Reading, they had won their last 5 games, but Fulham beat them 5-0. Means it's a bit of breathing space for Brighton, who joined Newcastle at the top of the table.
Yeah, no, Fulham, full credit to them. I thought they played really well the week before, actually, beaten 2-1. You can say 2-1 was harsh on for them that week, but we certainly wound them up for them to kind of take it out on that Reading. So a bit of tactical, even more tactical genius by us. but no, full credit. And again, it's the man that's got a couple of goals, Chris Martin. I still don't know really why Derby have loaned him out to Fulham, especially Derby been struggling for goals recently in this season. And full credit to Fulham, they've certainly they're playing from the correct way. They've got goals throughout the team. Of course, you've got the big lad, Ed Martin, good threat, and Aluko. I think I said at the start of the season, they'll actually drop off into mid-table. And I think they're about where they're going to be, which is sort of at the heart of top half. I don't think they're going to get playoffs, but they're certainly some good football. So over the last couple of years, they've been really poor.
Mm-hmm. Norwich.
So it's good to see that they're sorry, man.
Yeah, sorry. Norwich beat Brentford 5-0 as well. That they'd lost their last five before that, and then getting a 5-0 win. So yeah, good result for them, and finally back on track and just about in the playoffs. No, one place out of the playoffs.
Yeah, full credit to Alex Neil. I know he's probably just, to be fair. Some of it may be a bit too harsh, but they've obviously they've been struggling recently, and I always said, he needs to just really get that nitty gritty 1-0 win just to calm everyone down, get that win, just to stop the rot.
Mm-hmm.
But no, thanks for 5-0 win and goals from a few from goal fighting for goals as well, which will please Alex Neil a lot. I think if they can give that as a big confidence booster, we'll start seeing them jump straight back up and in that top two battle again.
And just finally,
I think that.
Yeah, sorry, just finally, Leeds beat Aston Villa 2-0, first loss for Steve Bruce, and Paul Lambert won his first game for Wolves to beat a 10-man QPR, which moves them out of the relegation zone, and yeah.
Yeah, huge win for Leeds, they're up to fourth now, and I think that I said it on the show last week, they're in this battle, they're in a promotion battle this season. Leeds are, they've got okay, Keamon Roof starting to find his level at the Championship. And everyone, Chris Wood, but it's all what a crowd it was at the end, and it felt again like the opposite in the Forest. So look at Forest and Newcastle then. It felt like a real big encounter again. It's two massive sides, but full credit to Gary Monk, he's done a great job there. And I think we're playing them on Friday night at the Amex. It's going to be a fantastic game. Looking forward to it. And it's second versus fourth. What a game is going to be in store. And I'm pretty nervous about it. And I'm thinking it's looking very good, and I'll happily take a point against them.
Fair enough. Well, best of luck with this Friday, and we'll move on to the FA Cup. So, joining us on the line, we've got Barry Hales. Hi, Barry.
Hey, how's it right?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Are you well?
Yeah, very well indeed. Very well, yeah.
All right. There's just one thing I've got to ask to start with. I was reading an article, and it said that apparently you're the oldest player to play in the FA Cup this year. I don't know if you know if that's true or not.
I'm not 100% sure. I never checked, but I was hearing something about it, but I didn't quite check it to verify. But I can definitely say I'm probably the only powerful player.
Fair enough. Yeah. Just wondering, playing at your age. Is it a lot of hard work taking care of yourself and over the years, or is it? Do you think it's just a natural thing that you've been able to play on so long?
Yeah, I think I've been quite lucky. I've looked after myself, so I tend to go to the gym a fair bit and take over. So yeah, I think I've had a bit of luck, touch wood, with injuries and keep my body in
half
decent shape.
Do you enjoy? Well, you must enjoy playing in football as well, still, and especially with younger players. Do you find yourself as almost like a role model for them?
Yes, I like to think so. Yeah. I do enjoy playing for foremost, and then the coaches and the side of things is a part of it. What I'm doing now, but yeah, I do first and foremost. Enjoy going on the pitch and pitting myself against the younger players.
Mm-hmm. I just want to ask about this season. You play for Chesham and coaching at Chesham United at the moment. Currently 11th in the Southern Premier League. How's the season gone, do you think?
It's gone fairly well. We've got a few games in hand, but we need to make them games in hand turn into points, so we've got a battle of games. I think on some teams we've got four games in hand, so if we win our games in hand, then that puts us in the third or fourth. So we've got games and make them into points, and we had a very good win last night against Hayden Yedin. So yeah, we're in good form. So hopefully we can keep doing the right things and climb up the table.
Mm-hmm. You also got to the first round proper of the FA Cup this year as well.
Yeah, we got knocked out by Peterborough, and for the first half an hour, say 25 minutes, we were a better team, and their supporters started moaning, and they were becoming disgruntled because they were misplacing passes, and they never had a lot of cohesion in that. But as I kept saying, when we're on top, we got to take our half chances, which we didn't, and then the lads hit one from 30 yards and he's gone in the top corner and slight deflection, and from then we were chasing the game.
Okay. I know Nick's got a few questions he wants to ask about your career, so Nick.
Yeah, I saw you scored at Barry at Stephen Barry, made 150 odd appearances, scored over 70 goals for the club. What's that got your move into the Football League with Bristol Rovers? What was sort of the jump from non league into the football? Did you notice it, or was it quite did you notice a huge thing?
It was a jump on the fitness side of things. But the manager who signed me, he guaranteed me that he would get a team to create chances for me to score goals, and luckily enough, I think I scored my debut, and I think I scored in the next three or four games. So I wouldn't say it was easy, but I started off really well in my first game that I played at the level. So I found it that I adjusted really well to it.
Yeah, I suppose being a striker, that's probably obviously the key thing, is just trying to get the goal early on, just to sort of calm everyone down, really. Because I know, as a striker, obviously there's pressure when a club signs you. So was that really important then, sort of getting off to a good start with Bristol?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Like I say, I jumped a couple of leagues to League One at the time, and but I think when you've got a good squad around you, it kind of settles you in, and that we had a good pre-season too. So, it was a good time for me to make that change, yeah.
Yeah, sure. And obviously, you've been getting better. You jumped from Bristol Rovers up to Fulham. And obviously, there, I think that's obviously where you made your name. Obviously, playing Premier League. What was that like playing in the Premier League? Sort of scored against big clubs like Chelsea and Tottenham, etc.
Yeah.
So what was it like?
It was a dream come true really. Coming from non-league and getting to the winning the League One with Fulham and getting the Championship and then playing a couple of seasons and winning that and getting to the Premiership was a definite highlight. And Fulham making our debut in the Premiership, we was away to Man United. Yeah, away to Man United, our first game. And we was thinking, this is the biggest club in the world at the time. And we lost 3-2, but it felt like we had won the game. We were travelling back, and we didn't disgrace ourselves. And we felt at the club, and we felt as players that we arrived at a stage that we can compete, and I was a big part of this. I was very pleased to make my Premier League debut and go from there, really.
And obviously after Fulham, you had a few clubs with the Sheffield United, Mill, Plymouth, Leicester, and Cheltenham, like, sort of in the Football League. I mean, we see quite a few strikers. I mean, when they sort of sign you, when they sign a player like yourself, they're just expecting goals. I think when you went to Cheltenham, that was obviously they were going through a difficult time in League One. I think when they signed you, it was the case of, can you please score the goals just to keep us up? Obviously, when you sort of signed to sort of clubs sort of like that, is it just sort of a huge pressure just for them to be sort of their key player, really?
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, the club's going through a transformation and trying to get a settled management system and settled squad and that, and it was a lot of chop and change. So yeah, it was a time of a transition, and we just didn't quite just went up to that.
Yeah, sure. And the final one from me, mate, is obviously you went from Cheltenham playing the sort of football league down to Truro. Again, what happened there? Really? Did you sort of decide you didn't really want to do football full time anymore, and that, or was it more just a was it more for family reasons? You haven't
part time or what? Yeah, I would have come from part time to gone full circle, and then going back to it and joining Truro, and the manager was one of my old teammates, and he convinced me that it would be worth me to come down and for me to I'm a trader at a time at that level, and it was a fouling job of time because we ended up winning the league and we scored 20 goals as well. So it was a different shake up, but yeah, it's all about, I always say, it's all about making choices, and 9 times out of 10, I think I made the right choices in my career.
Yep. I think that is all from me, so I'll hand back to Anthony.
Well, we'll talk about the FA Cup. I guess there's only one game really to start with. Curzon Ashton lost 4-3 to Wimbledon. Terrific game. Curzon Ashton 3-0 up. Alan Morgan scoring a hat-trick, including a fantastic first-minute opener, but Wimbledon came back 1-4-3.
Yeah, yeah. It was a case of Curzon being up, and I think they never changed their style of play. They kept, to their credit, trying to pass their way out they're off and that, and sometimes you just have got to, when you're being pegged back, you just have got to put the ball in behind the other team and try and get up the pitch and try keep the ball in their half for a few seconds even, and you kept coming back and you kept trying to pass their way through, and that's why Wimbledon got their chances from their balls and they were naturally getting tired because Wimbledon weren't as tired.
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, it's definitely the best FA Cup. Especially certainly in my lifetime, I can't think of a better FA Cup second round game. First round earlier in the early stages. Especially certainly in my lifetime, but it may potentially even best FA Cup second round tie of all time. I mean, it was that good. I mean, I think the statistic I read on Opta Joe was 162 seconds between Wimbledon's three goals. I mean, that is just insane.
Yeah. And the drama, like you say, from the first minute goal to the 93rd or 45th minute when Wimbledon scored a winner, the drama was throughout the whole game.
Yeah.
And that's what any fan or footballer wants to see. So yeah, I'll make you right with that count. Yeah.
Well, I feel a bit sorry for Curzon Ashton striker Adam Morgan. I mean, obviously, striker in the non-leagues trying to make your name of yourself, 3-0 up hat-trick, and it sort of almost takes the shine away from him because I thought he had a great.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and I think he got subbed off as well. At one point as well. So they're thinking, well, job done, and they can see it out. And Wimbledon kept coming back. And as you, like I always say to my team, when you got an opportunity to put the ball in the box, then you're asking the question of the goalkeeper and the defenders, and that's what we've done. They kept putting the ball in the box, and then there was a few ricochets, and that's how they got their goals.
There was a couple of non-league teams who beat football league teams. Barrow going to Bristol Rovers, beating them 2-1. You used to play for Bristol Rovers, didn't you?
Last season, an FA Cup, Chesham, we knocked out Bristol Rovers as well. So, this year, I was looking out for them, and I expected us to see off Barrow, but Barrow are on a fantastic run as well. So, and that was pretty confidence in that. And they went and go down against Bristol Rovers and still had the quality to turn it around. So credit to Barrow.
Yeah, I think that's that is the biggest upset of the weekend. Full credit to Byron Harrison as well. Great striker. He's been scoring goals for fun, really, in non-league this season. And his two goals are just very lovely, naturally good strike, as you obviously know yourself. There's very calm finishes with the striker. But I can't imagine Darryl Clark being so happy. He has two cup upsets on the trot, really, every year. And I think he certainly wants to be sort of addressing that because... Obviously, it's unacceptable. I know, because they've done well in the leagues,
but he wanna get the confidence back in the league running for sure.
Absolutely.
The other team, Lincoln, they beat Oldham 3-2. They were 3-0 up, but they survived the fight back from Oldham to go through.
I did. That's 4-3 finished, didn't it, as well?
3-2 to Lincoln, that one finished.
3-2, So that's a lot of goals. And in that one too, to be honest, and credit to Lincoln to turn over a league side.
Mm-hmm.
I know Lincoln used to be in the league, and they got a good reputation as a club, but you still got going and do the job which they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially after seeing what they saw the day before when Oldham got especially the second goal, when they're probably thinking, crikey, we could, and even for Oldham, they could be like, we can do a Wimbledon here. So, full credit to one player I've always really rated, which I couldn't actually believe is in the non-league, is Theo Robinson. He's always been a very quick striker, very good, great playing on the last man, and he still has got his pace, and his goals were... They've still got the eye for it, and I see Lincoln are doing very well in the National League, and I think that's no thanks to having him on the books. And as I say, I think that Lincoln are in a very good shape right now, because they've sort of been out the non-league for a while. But now they're looking like they're on their way back, and as I say, into the third round of the FA Cup, a good season.
The third non-league side to beat a league side was Sutton United. They beat Cheltenham Town 2-1. A good result for them, but...
One of my old clubs, yeah.
I saw that,
and Sutton playing, they got the plastic pitch of that, and so their players were used to the surface, used to where the ball bounces on it and that, but then they weathered the better side from what I saw, and then the lad who scored the winner, he took the goal really well in that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, Sutton are a club that's sort of been on the up for a while, and they've jumped up a few non-league, they've jumped up the non-league for a while now, and they're in the top right of non-league football. Got a good budget there, Sutton. I think when you have a good strike, when you have a strike pair of Roy Deakin and Matt Tubbs, that's good enough for, definitely good enough for League Two, really. And we saw both their goals, lovely goals from both of them. Matt Tubbs has made a career out of that. We saw them Crawley when they were up to Old Trafford. He was brilliant at scoring goals against sort of Derby and Swindon. And Deakin, that was a lovely strike right at the end. To win it.
Did you see the Sutton manager missed Matt Tubbs' goal because he was being interviewed by the BBC while as he scored?
they're probably thinking about the replay, weren't they? They're probably talking about the replay, how well your side's done, and that's what they're going to talk to him about, and then they pop up with the winner.
Great individual performance by Luke Berry. He scored four goals for Cambridge as they beat Coventry. They beat Coventry 4-0. Looking really bad for Coventry. I know Mark Venus came out after the game and apologised for what happened.
I think they're reimbursed for friends and stuff like that. You don't expect any league side to really go like that. So yeah. Got to really look at yourself, look at the club, and reevaluating how to get it back to where they ought to be. And that, so that was a devastating result, really.
Mm-hmm.
Full credit to Libéry. I mean, that must be the performance of the round.
Yeah,
shot.
Definitely. It's got to be.
It's not good for Coventry at all. Really, I mean, it could have been a good chance for them to get some much needed money for the into the club.
Yeah.
They could have drawn out United or Arsenal or someone like that away. But it's not nice to see. But in that merit, full credit to Cheltenham for a fantastic performance and for Libéry. And I don't think too many teams will be. We want to get them in the draw, and obviously we'll discuss it for a bit. They're a good side. Cambridge, I think they're the start of the season pretty slow in League Two. I think Sean Dairy seems to have sorted it out, and I think they're looking at where they want to be right now.
Definitely.
Probably the biggest game in terms of the clubs involved was the League One clash. Bolton. Bolton they beat Sheffield United 3-2. Biggest game. It was a decent game, and Bolton, I'm sure, happy to be through.
Yeah, massive game, and another one. And one of my ex teams being knocked out again. Bolton really was a good form. That's a massive win for them. Sheffield are in good form as well, so it would have been a tough game either side of going through. But yeah, they played to them, Bolton, but winning that one and getting through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, Bolton huge. Again, both of a huge club. We said it on the last, when we did the preview to the second round. It was only a Premier League game not so long ago, and both clubs really would love to have gone to the third round to. And especially Sheffield United getting to the semi-finals only a few years ago. Two heavyweights and they can have a great, have a high-scoring game, 3-2. So it's a full credit to Bolton, though. And again, they're having a great season. And I think that they're well on their way. It's another big win. And I think that it's going well in League One and now into the third round of the FA Cup. I think it's been almost a perfect season so far.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Having been relegated, you're always more winner. One of first and foremost, I couldn't consolidate the league you're in, and then show the quality. You know, once you keep your mainstay, the squad you had in the championship, and then you can almost guide them back and say, right, you're championship players, and I want you to get back to the championship. So that's what they're getting up for, and a nice little cup run too.
Mm-hmm. I'll mention one of your sides which did win, Millwall, former sides that won, sorry. Millwall, they beat National League Braintree Town, they beat them 5-2, good performance from them.
Yeah, I saw that a very good result, because Braintree, a bad outfit, they were well drew, well organised in that, so that could have been a potential banana skin, but as long as you all sort of saw it through and got through.
Yeah, I think again, it was one player that impressed me was Harry Smith up front. They've got him from Folkestone and Victor. And when we've seen him play, he's a big, strong striker, but he's also got a fair bit of pace about it. I was impressed with his performance, and he, in the games I've seen him play for me, he has look a very good acquisition for them. He's got a good pairing up front with Lee Gregory. I think Braintree, they just couldn't really cope with them at times. It's another club you want to see in the third round, and it's a lot of big clubs we'll look forward to going to at the Den.
That's right, yeah. Exactly. Like I say, I know he's a big lad, but he's got a good feet as well, he's got a good technical ability as well, so he's not just a target man.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He's got a lot of ability too, so yeah, he's a very good find, to be honest.
I'll just mention a few games which are not settled. Stourbridge are the lowest ranked side still in the FA Cup. Their game against Northampton was postponed due to a frozen pitch. I know the Stourbridge manager wasn't very happy about it, but what can you do really?
Yeah. It was all one of those things. If the rest of the teams are unplayable, then I'm sure Southampton would have liked to play as much as Ellenbridge. But hey, it's definitely that, and that's what they got to think about. They got to think about focusing on playing a very strong Southampton team and trying to upset them and try to win the game.
Mm-hmm. It was an entertaining game between Eastleigh and Halifax. Eastleigh in the National League, Halifax in the National North Division below. That ended 3-3, so I'll go to a replay.
Yeah, that was Martin Allen's first game in charge of Eastleigh. So I'm sure he'd have been putting out his air in there. But I think at the end of the day, Eastleigh equalised late on to bring it to a replay. So team and any manager is going to be happy with having staring the losing the end game. So it's going to be an interesting replay because Halifax and at home they are a good strong side, a good strong outfit. So easily I've got to go there and be strong. It's going to be a midweek game and that, so it's going to be under the lights. If he can go there and try and equip himself accordingly.
Yeah, Martin, I think he would have got mental in the change rooms after being, because he obviously went out of Barnet in the FA Cup this season. I think he would have really hated that, going out in round one, then round two for two different players. But no, but full credit to Honey, because a really tough place to go, obviously. Obviously, one of the highest budgets in the National League. But to go there and to almost get the win, really good, full credit to them. And I know that would have gone a bit under the radar had they won that, but I think that would be a huge FA Cup upset there. It doesn't stand out as much as the others.
Yeah.
But no, but I think the replay will be entertaining as well, apart from Halifax. And I think if Halifax, they'll certainly go there and for goal goes down and go full of confidence, and there's certainly a chance of an upset there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. In fact, I'll probably make Halifax slightly favourites. No, they are a league below now.
A league below, yeah.
I'm slightly favourite from that. But I know Mike Allen hasn't worked under him. I know he's going to make sure his team are going to be upright, because he knows they're going to be in for one of the battle.
An all League One class, Charlton v Milton Keynes. Carl Robinson had taken over at Charlton, the former MK Dons manager. And there was a new MK Dons manager in Robert Nielsen, who says they can reach the Premier League. Not the most exciting game, a 0-0, but with the off field events, I guess it's worth mentioning that game.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Well, like I say, both teams are in. Transition of new management, and they're going to style of play are going to be adjusted accordingly. So I'm sure when the players when the managers will settle in, that they're going to be pushing to first and foremost staying in the league with regards to them, and Kay can go there, but they're down the bottom. But a good cut run is always a good confidence too, so I think that replay is going to be interesting too, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think Kyle Robinson might have been a bit confused by his dugouts coming to the way. That would be a bit interesting replay. I think the winners, they get a trip to the Amex, so hopefully they can knacker themselves out before we play them. But it'll be an interesting replay for sure. I was actually a bit surprised it wasn't announced as one of the replays for the telly. Certainly to be
fair.
Yeah. The final match, just want to mention, League Two clash between Plymouth and Newport County also ended 0-0. But that'll be a really big game, the replay, because the winner plays Liverpool in the next round.
I wait to Liverpool as well. Yeah. I see that. So. I know Plymouth, one of my old teams, right? They've been well in League Two at the minute, a Newport album. I was struggling down the bottom, but for them to go and get a draw at Plymouth, now they're taking them back to their place. So it's going to be a tough one. I think Plymouth will be playing reasonable on current league form, but and it's really a cup, so that goes out the window. So that's no tie, which is definitely a finely balanced.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, that would be a great window. Both teams would really go for it, but what a tie to potentially have, though. Do you know anyone going? It'll be their cup final. They won't go to Liverpool expecting to win. They've got all the supporters have got to join the day out. And it's a club. There's two clubs that deserve it as well. Plymouth have been going for it. Obviously, they've had a terrible few, last 5 years. Last 5 or 6 years or so, money trouble. So I mean, Newport obviously down in the non-league 7-10 to football league, they struggle in the in certain in the league season. So both clubs would love that at that time.
We'd love that, yeah. Any of them would be absolutely buzzing to get through and travel to Anfield. Yeah, definitely.
All right, just want to ask: are there any other games in particular, third round games you're looking forward to that caught your eye?
I haven't seen the whole list.
I've got some games that stand out for me. I think tied around probably is West Ham against Man City at Upton Park. Upton Park, the London Stadium.
In saying that, I did see a few of the West Ham fans tweeting saying, we're just going to concentrate on not staying in the league. Yeah, that's a massive draw for West Ham and on current form. I think they want to get that one out of the way and concentrate on, like I just said, stay in the league in that. So that's a draw.
I think that is good. So another few others that start from here. Preston against Arsenal at Deepdale. I think that'll be I think that could be a potential banana skin. I don't think I know Arsene Wenger is actually pretty good at going to these places and come-ups. Preston have improved a lot. They won't make it easy for Arsenal.
No, exactly. And Preston has a tough place to go as well in any time in that. That's another massive game. And Preston give a good account of themselves, but Arsenal, it just depends on the team that they well, I know Arsene Wenger, he knows he has to get through in there, so he's going to put a fairly strong side out.
That's the thing. Yeah, especially they're still obviously. I know they're out of the League Cup now, but they're in a good position in the Premier League. They'll still get the Champions League. That will be interesting. That could be one. I think also another one that stands out for me is in the Premier League, Everton against Leicester. I think that'll be another great Premier an all Premier League affair there.
My team at Leicester had won the Premiership they through after the Champions League next round. So there's another level that we need to check out the squad and then try it, because when you're competing on those and so many high profile games, you've got to shake your squad up and keep everybody much fit, and that's how you juggle it around and try and win the game. But it's going to be difficult. Unless they're not in great form
what stands out for me is Sutton United against AFC Wimbledon.
Oh yeah, that's a local, local derby, I think, isn't it? That should be sell out, man. So that should be a great atmosphere. And having seen what Wimbledon have done against Cruzan, they know that they got to come out of the blocks and know that they can't be chasing games again. So that's a massive local draw for both teams.
Just one final thing I want to ask you, Barry, if that's all right. People are saying, a few managers have come out and said this weekend that the gap between the Football League and non-league is getting smaller and smaller. I know we've discussed it a few times on this show. Do you agree with that, or do you think it's quite a big gap?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with it.
I think we've reached the end of the show. Thanks for joining us, Barry. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, guys. Cheers.
All right, no worries. You can follow Barry. It's at the Barry Hales. Follow us on Twitter at V2Football and check out our website, v2football.com. I've been Anthony Kendrick. It's good night from me and good night from Nick and Barry. Good night.
Good night.
Cheers, guys. Thanks. Bye.